to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. My name's Bob Arthurs, and I'm still the pastor of Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, 28 plus years now, and still plugging away, still looking to reach people with the love of Jesus. We're here to be a blessing, and we pray that you are as well. We do want to let you know, with all of the building that is going on, if you've got a building project that you need block or concrete work done, you can give the folks at Jits Concrete 321-536-5804. Easy for me to say. 321-536-5804, and they can help you out. They have decades and decades of experience. Good experience, I might add. There's difference between bad experience and good experience. But they have the experience, the work ethic, and the knowledge on how to get your job done, the connections. They know their materials like the back of their hands. They are not afraid to get up early and do the work whenever it's got to be done. And I encourage you to give them a call and see if you can schedule them to come out. You know, I've been talking to some people in the construction industry, and they've been talking about how far out from scheduling to implementation things are. Sometimes it's 3 months. Sometimes it's even longer than that. And I don't want to see you get stuck behind the eight ball, not being able to move forward with your project, because if you got no foundation, you got no project. And 321-536-5804. We'll get you in touch with Greg at Jits Concrete. Tell him you heard about him on the Refresh Radio program, and that would be greatly appreciated. So we are moving forward, and you know, February, this will be the last week in February, and for us that means exciting things in the weeks ahead for our family, and lots of company coming in, and exciting life transformative events. And so I hope to, and it also brings us closer to hotter weather. I really like the cooler weather, not so much on the cold, but the cooler weather works great for me. But you know, seasons change, and I pray that what we share with you here today on seeking God, that will help you navigate the seasons of your life in a godly and glorifying way. Today we're going to take you to the book of Isaiah, Old Testament, chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. And there are a lot of great promises in this particular chapter, and I want to touch on some of those today. So as we are talking about we were talking about this on Friday's program as well, and that is to begin to seek God while you are young, also to seek Him while the day is young. Today we're going to add one more aspect to that seeking, and it's found here in Isaiah chapter 26. Verse number 1 says, "In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. For he brings down those who dwell on high, the lofty city, he lays it low. He lays it low to the ground, he brings it down to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness, O most upright. You weigh the path of the just, yes, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. With my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let grace be shown to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness he will deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. That's verse number 10. So God here is saying that there's going to be a day that comes when there's going to be a song that is sung in the land of Judah, and there is going to be an invitation. It says, open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. There are a whole lot of falsehoods that are put out there. We need to be people who will embrace the truth, not just intellectual truth, but spiritual truth. We need to not only have the letter of the law, we need to have the spirit of the law. We need to be in uprightness, and there is an entrance that is available to people of truth that people who live a life of deception will not get to participate in. So there is a promise that comes in verse number 3. It's a great promise. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You know, if I told you, keep your mind fixated on this, you would try and implement your will and stay focused on that. I remember watching a video one time. It was about a different country, won't name the country, but they have video surveillance of suspected terrorist hotspots, and they said, we select the people who are going to monitor this situation, and the people that we select are people who have the ability to stay fixated on a particular area without getting distracted. So if I told you that God wants to keep you in perfect peace, that's a great promise. The way that that comes about, the process that God uses, is when we trust in God. Not trust in ourselves, not trust in other people. I don't know if you've ever been around an untrustworthy person, and by that I mean it's not that you couldn't believe what they told you, it's just that you didn't know where they were going to be or when they were going to be there. You know, after 28 years of being at Merit Assembly, I can pretty much guarantee you where I'm going to be on any given Sunday. And that's in the house of the Lord. I'm going to be at Merit Assembly of God. You can pretty much take that to the bank. But I tell you, I do have a person at my church who's even more reliable than what I am. He hardly ever misses. One year there was 53 Sundays in the year. I was there 52. He was there 53. And I think the one weekend that I wasn't there was gone to visit family out of state. You know, he lives local. They don't travel out of the area to see family very often or anything like that. But he just loves Jesus. He is a phenomenal human being. And, you know, we need to trust God. If we will trust in God, in spite of everything that goes on outside of the realm of our control, God will keep us in perfect peace, perfect wholeness, mentally, physically, spiritually, financially, relationally, professionally. He will keep you in perfect peace. You see, if the devil can get us thinking about the circumstances, if he can get us thinking about the giants, instead of the God who defeats the giants, then we're going to have a misperception of who God is. I don't want you to diminish your view of God. I don't want you to enhance your view of the giants or enhance your view of the mountains. I want you to see it in proper perspective, and that is this. You can trust God in the valley. You can trust him on the plateau. You can trust him on the mountain. You can trust him on a sunny day, on a rainy day, on a snowy day. You can trust him. You can trust God when you're young. You can trust him when you are old. For in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. Everlasting strength. And so my Bible's got a footnote where it says, "For the Lord is the rock of ages," the rock of ages. And, you know, when I was growing up, that was a very popular song. They did a modified a chorus of it back in the 80s or 90s, somewhere in there, and it was great as well. What you understand there is that he endures through all generations. He endures. He has everlasting strength. He's never going to get tired. You know, here's a little piece of advice for you. If you are moving a lot of furniture, don't start with the lightest ones first. Start with the heavy ones first. Because in our human bodies, we have limited amounts of strength. So you want to use your unhindered strength on the heaviest items. And then the tireder you get, you realize that the objects are getting lighter as you're getting tireder. So, but God never has that problem. He never gets tired. He never gets sleepy. He never gets winded. And so you can trust him. Verse number 7 begins to talk about our way of life. And it says, "The way of the just is uprightness." Now, from verses 7 to 10, there is uprightness mentioned, upright that is mentioned. There is, down in verse number 9, the righteousness that is mentioned. Verse 10, righteousness. Verse 10 again, uprightness. And do you get the idea that what we're getting ready to talk about has a great deal to do with our right standing with God? Our right standing with God should manifest in the way that we live. It doesn't just have bearing on our relationship with God. It has bearing, has influence on how we treat other people as well. It says, "The way of the just is uprightness, O most upright." Never forget that the standard of righteousness is not your feelings. The standard of righteousness is not what is legal in America. There are things that are legal in America that are not right before God. They're not righteous. So when that is the case, even though something may be legal, I'm not going to participate in it. There are things that are legal in some states that you don't want to participate in because the Bible specifically prohibits them. You don't want to do that. And so remember that Jesus is the standard. Other people aren't the standard. You're not the standard. The government's not the standard. God is the standard. And it says, "Yes, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you." We have waited for you. He's talking about that when there are judgments to be made, that the best way to go about that is waiting for God to make his judgment known. Don't get ahead of God. Resist the temptation to inflict your timeline on God's eternal plan. Okay? My schedule is constantly in flux. Things come up. And so if I insisted on having my timeline in place, there would be a lot of things that wouldn't get done because that didn't fit into my time schedule. But I tell you what does happen is when I am fluid and flexible and say, "Okay, God, what do you want in this situation?" Then I'm able to minister to people. Okay, so I want to be more flexible spiritually than I am physically. Believe me, I'm not nearly as flexible as I used to be physically, and I was never flexible. I mean, even in grade school, it was, you'd have that little scale. How far could you reach? Remember gym class back in the day? How far beyond your toes could you reach your fingers? Yeah, mine didn't go that far. I have a brother. He was way more flexible and athletic than I was, and so that just was never my thing. But I may not have the physical capabilities, but all of us can have the spiritual capabilities to wait for God. Say, now when God speaks, we need to respond as a thus says the Lord. That's what our theme is this year at Merit Assembly of God. Thus says the Lord. It says, the desire of our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. Now, here is where we're beginning to narrow our focus for the last half of the program today. And it is this. What does our soul, what does our very life, what does it crave? What gives us meaning? What is it that we long for? And here it begins to say, the desire of our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. What if it wasn't about our reputation? What if it was about God's reputation? It would make a huge difference. It'd make a huge difference. And so I want to encourage you to live for a higher purpose, and we need to do that on a daily basis. A desire, if it's a real desire, it's going to be something that motivates what you think about, what you speak about, what you dream about, what you act upon, how you budget. All of that is going to be a reality in your life. I want to encourage you, make the name of the Lord a top priority in your night. Here it says, the desire of our soul is for your name. In verse number 9, it says, with my soul I have desired you in the night. I don't know about you, but my brain works better at night. It works really, really well when I'm trying to get it to shut off so I can sleep for the night. And when that happens, you and I, we've got to focus that to not being fixated on problems, but being fixated on the problem solver. And Jesus is the problem solver. And he says, with my soul, I have desired you in the night. That's how we should end our day. Yes, by my spirit within me, I will seek you early. So you and I, we are made up of body, soul, and spirit. So I want to ask you today, what is it that stirs you to be active of a morning? What is it? Is it, you know, well, I've just got to have my cup of coffee. You know, I drink coffee, just not very much. If it tasted as good as it smelled, that would be one thing. I do it to, you know, give me a kickstart on some mornings, but not every morning. And, you know, there are some people that they wake up and what motivates them is I've got to go to work. I've got bills to pay. And that is what motivates them. It compels them to get up and move. I want to present to you that when we begin to seek God when we're young and we begin to seek God when we're early, that it is not something that happens because our body makes a decision. It's not because we made something made a decision with our minds, and it is that decision, okay, I'm going to do this. That's fine. Willpower is awesome. I believe that we ought to be stubborn for the things of God instead of stubborn against the things of God. But here, Isaiah doesn't say that it's something that our body makes a decision about or our soul, our will, our emotions, none of that comes into this being a successful strategy unless it is birthed in our spirit. Now, I'm here on the radio. You're hearing me through your ears. Hopefully, there's some intellectual processes that are going on that are being stirred right now. But my real goal is to stir your spirit as a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, to say, you know what? I cannot just seek what God can do for me. I need to seek God. This is what it says. With my soul I have desired you, capital Y, in the night. By my spirit within me, I will seek you early. Okay? So there's the how. There's the why. It's the seeking early, and it's something that comes from our spirit that says, we need for this day to be the day of the Lord. We need this day to be the day that we see the presence of God move. This is the day that we need to hear God's marching orders as our commander in chief. So seek him early. If you come from a military background, I pray that you would have that same mindset. Okay, it's a new day. I need to hear what my assignment is for the day. I've told you, that's my view of God. That is my view of God. It's not rigid. It's not drill sergeant. He's my commander in chief. He has the successful strategy. He's got the successful plan. He's got me successfully positioned. He's got me strategically equipped. And so I just need to know, God, what's the plan for today? And the plan for today is being with God, because he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I need to be with him. If I can keep my mind fixed on him, he's going to keep me in perfect peace. I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to trust that he is the rock of ages. He is the everlasting strength, that he is just and upright in all he does. So I need to be with him. He needs to be our priority. Let's not substitute his presence with just some program. Okay? Now, there's a why. There's a why. Verse number 9, the latter part of this, begins to describe two alternatives. You make the decision as to which one of these you are going to be. I don't make the decision for you. Your mama don't make that decision for you. Your spouse and your kids don't make that decision for you. You've got to make this decision for you. Verse number 9, the latter part, says this: for when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. You want an interesting study? Study the various things that the Bible tells us that we need to learn, that God wants to teach us. And, you know, the old joke, when I was in grade schools, they wanted to teach us the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. And say, well, wait a minute, arithmetic begins with an A. I know, but if you're in Oklahoma, that A just kind of falls by the wayside there. If you are in some job, they want to teach you how to operate the machinery or how to operate the processes, the procedures. You need to acclimate. You need to learn the culture of the job. God says, I want you to learn righteousness. I don't just want one person to learn righteousness. I want all the inhabitants of the earth to learn righteousness. Now, there are easy ways to learn righteousness, and there are some complicated ways, some painful ways to learn righteousness. And so it says here that if we will desire him with our soul and desire him in the night and by his spirit seek him early of a morning, that when his judgments are in the earth, the people are going to say, he's righteous. Look at Revelation, and the angels declared that God is righteous and true. He's righteous and just in all his judgments. Who gets into heaven? Who's not wanting, didn't want to go to heaven? Not going to get to go. That might be a newsflash for some of you. God doesn't want any to perish, but there are people who have intentionally chosen to reject the plans of God. You say, well, how do you know they were intentionally rejected it? Because of verse number 10. Let grace be shown to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness, he will not deal justly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. So how do you know if a person is righteous or if they are wicked? It is how they respond to the demonstration of God's righteousness. And they either say, I want to learn to live in righteousness, or they reject righteousness altogether. I am very concerned for the spiritual complacency of large numbers of people in America. There are people who are sitting in churches who do not understand the gravity of the situation, of the timing. You say, well, I've been hearing that the Lord was coming, you know, for my entire life. He still hadn't come. That doesn't mean he's not coming. It simply means that we are closer now than we've ever been before. Read Daniel, and you'll see that that it talks about in the last days, in the increase in knowledge. It will be increasing rapidly. That's where we are. By the time a product comes to market, it's already almost obsolete. And yet they still don't understand righteousness. Knowledge and righteousness are not the two, are not the same things. You can have a lot of knowledge and not be righteous. And you can be righteous and not have a lot of knowledge. But what happens when we know our God and do great exploits because we are in right standing with him? The wicked, it says, even though he lives in the land of uprightness, he still will deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. You can be living in a righteous time, a time where God's righteousness is on prominent display in the land, and you can still choose to reject it. God loved us enough to give us a free will. Okay? So we choose to love him. We choose to accept him. We choose to keep our mind stayed on him. We choose to allow him to keep us in perfect peace. We choose to trust him. We choose righteousness. We choose him morning, noon, and night, or we reject him. And in rejecting him, we sentence ourselves to missing the majesty of the Lord. I will tell you this. I'm glad I didn't throw in the towel at times, because if I did, I would have missed seeing the greatest majestic acts God's ever done in my life. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.